Vanya.
Hi, Mike Jensen. We got it.
How's it going over there?
It's good. I'm drinking some coffee with some heavy Chobani cream in my mouth. It's good. It's cold.
Isn't that so good?
Yes. And I got the caramel one.
Oh, it's so good. I kind of go back and forth between that one. There's another brand that I get too. But like, yeah, it's delicious. A nice little plug for some Chobani creamer.
Seriously,
there.
I have to thank Daniel because when we were hanging out while he was visiting, he got it. And I'm like, in my mind, I'm like, oh, it's probably so many calories. But it's not. It's 35 calories for like a tablespoon or whatever, which is not bad.
Yeah, I used to be really, I went through a phase where I was like, I don't know why they're, I don't let myself enjoy things sometimes.
Yeah.
Like with coffee, I was like, just do a splash of whatever and it doesn't need to taste good. And then I think it was when I was on Fire Island that I was like, well, I'm on vacation. Yeah. I'm going to get this fancy. And I'm like, holy, this is so delicious. You know, and you know, I don't have any, I have certain dietary restrictions,
sure.
But like I can have dairy. I tell this story kind of frequently.
So
I think
funny.
About years and years and years ago when I was working at a restaurant that was mostly dairy-free. This was not a planned topic to talk about right now.
I love
it. I like had probably not had really any dairy in almost a year. And you and I went to this little Mexican restaurant in the West Village and you got a side of sour cream
yeah,
with yours.
I remember
and
this.
I was like...
Very well.
And I was like, can I just have a little taste of that? Because I hadn't had it. And I took like a tiny bite of sour cream and I was like... What the fuck have I been wasting my life for? And like, if you can't have dairy, I'm so sorry. Like, I know people that can't have dairy, but like, just this like thing of like, why have I been denying myself? So I do that sometimes where I'm like, I'm not going to do the yummy thing because I don't know. It's weird. I don't know what that instinct is in me.
Who knows? I mean, you set some rules up for yourself and then you're like, I have to do. I do the same thing. I totally do. In fact, I've been drinking black coffee for the last 3 years, I think. And this is sort of my first, I know it's crazy, but like this, I'm drinking it and actually I'm really enjoying it. My first cup this morning was black just because sometimes it's like there's a mental thing where I'm like, if it's black, it's working better. And then my afternoon cup right now is that I need a warm hug from inside and it's doing it for me.
I gotcha.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It's cold. It's cold where you are.
Yeah, it's raining again. Hills are sliding off each other.
Oh,
I don't really know. It's just so wild. And then the most depressing thing is like the news is like, one would think that we're out of our drought, but not yet. Don't get too happy. I'm just like, fuck you news, you know? I got to take a
right.
break. I got to take a break.
Yeah, I don't really get that. And there, something to do with like they can't saturate the ground or something like that.
Yeah, I do understand. It's like we went from extreme drought to now we're just drought. And then it just takes, it's like because we're getting it so fast. I understand. But I'm also just like, can you guys be like a little bit positive? Can we like celebrate a fucking win once in a while?
Right. The news always has to be like, I think it was like an Ellen joke where it was like something in your pantry might be killing you after
yeah.
the break. And it's like, well, is it peas? Like what, you know, like we're always, it always has to like keep
yeah.
you a little bit on edge.
Yeah.
No, you're not affected by, because there's a huge teacher strike happening in LA, but you're not affected by that, right?
We are not LAUSD anymore. I was, we were, I support the teachers. I've been rewatching this week. I've been alone with the children, and at night I watch whatever I want. Well, unless I'll tell you about that later. Dealing with
okay.
some shenanigans, but I've been rewatching or not rewatching, finishing finally season two of Abbott Elementary, and
mm-hmm.
I feel like that's when they really start to get cooking. And I just feel so bad for teachers, man.
Yeah, it really is. You know, it feels like such a thankless profession. And you know, we both had parents who
yeah.
were, you know,
and my sister and brother, they're both
right.
educators.
Yeah, yeah.
Hi,
yeah,
guys.
I think I've always think about that, how, because you know, I feel like my dad loved his job and loved your sister.
Oh.
But she was
oh,
kind of
yeah oh this
she
is
was
I'm
not
sure
easiest.
We told this story.
We probably have.
My sister is, she's like the sweetest person, and she's a teacher. She's not kindergarten anymore, but she taught kindergarten for like many, many years, and now I think she's almost been teaching for 15 years at this point. But she, when she was in middle school, she had some rough times. I mean, like, life was not easy for my sister. And so she was in a bad mood a lot.
Uh-huh.
And she had, I think it was detention or something like that. And with Mike's dad. And my parents had come to pick her up, and they were waiting at the door just patiently, you know, and your dad was right doing something, you know, like a teacher was whatever, writing, doing whatever, planning. And Amelia, I see Amelia and Sylvia, they're similar spirits. Yeah. They really are. And that's why I love them so much. But my sister was like, Mr. Jensen. And he didn't hear Mr. Jensen. And my parents are like watching this. This is my dad telling the story is the most hilarious thing. And then he still didn't hear. And then my sister goes, Mr. Jensen. Sorry, I just blew out our speaker. And he was like, oh, yeah, Sylvia, go ahead. But you know, she had some rough times, and guess what? It makes her a more empathetic teacher now, you know, because she's
for sure. My dad was so happy. My dad was so happy when he found out that your sister had gone into teaching. It made him very, very happy. I think on one hand to like now you'll know what you put me through, but also just like, you know, I think anytime a teacher's student, you know, becomes a teacher, like there was a time that I wanted to be a teacher because I knew how happy it would make him.
Oh my God, there's a time I wanted to be a teacher. I took a test, like the fates were not in my, that was not in my favor, but like at Western, I tried to take the test, but deep down I knew I didn't want to do it. Anyways, long story, but I also sometimes think I'm not like focused enough to be a teacher. I mean, like, because there's like, I just got through the episode where there's all these mandates at Abbott Elementary for the teachers who have, they have to teach them all these things. Mm-hmm. And the guy teacher who, oh God, I can't remember his name. Anyways, he's like probably a little, he has some sort of mental issues. And so he's like trying really hard and like micromanaging each minute of his day. And then he'll really be able to do it. And the older teacher is like, you know, you just gotta do your best every day. That's what you can do.
Yeah, yeah. It's such a hard job.
Strike, teachers. Get what you need.
And I don't know. I don't know why we can't pay teachers what they deserve. I don't know why it feels like we have these certain issues that we just can't. We can't break. We have to instead talk about drag queens,
right?
You
so
know,
stupid.
Reading books. Like it doesn't make any sense. But that is what it is. It's the distracting. You talked about it on a previous one that RuPaul had the thing of, you know, look over there. That it's all just distractions. It's all just politicians being like, please don't pay attention to the fact that we still don't have, you know, enough money to pay teachers or fund schools. Like, let's focus on this thing over here that's not actually a problem at all.
I know. You know, like I was just I know. I'm sorry. We're going off the rails a little bit. Like I was just watching the Jon Stewart, I think it's, I forget what channel. Oh, Apple Plus, he's got that show. Yeah. And there was a little thing about, or there's a whole episode about taxes. And I don't know if you watched that episode, but he talks about how, you know, we think we pay such high taxes. Everybody doesn't want to pay taxes. We pay 8% in other countries where there is much more, I don't know, the taxes are higher. They get more things. And people are happy to pay those taxes because they don't have to worry about insurance. They know that their healthcare is okay. They know that the education system is okay. People are getting free, educate, all these things that help a community because you see your tax dollars working. We don't, because most of our money goes to defense.
Yeah. You know, I watched like the first episode of that. And I have to figure out a better like mental place to watch it from, because I just got so angry. Like I just got so like frustrated, and like obviously he's trying to infuse it with comedy and all of that. And I don't know why, just for some reason I wasn't able to calmly watch it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not watching. I just saw a clip of that, and then I went and watched it because I was like, I wanted to understand. Because I'm like, what? Why? I want to be proud. I love, you know, I'm down to pay taxes. I appreciate social community, like, focused things. I think that's awesome. I think people would be more down to be like, yeah, pay our taxes. I don't know. If they were, if you could see what they were doing. Because they should be helping us, you know? And
yeah,
we do
they should
see
be helping us.
Our streets and all these things. And let's hope that the hill I'm on doesn't slide off right now. But, you know, all of
right.
the things. Anyways, how was your week?
It's been pretty good. You know, I feel like I kind of glossed over a few things because we had to get, you know, to talking about the Oscars last week.
Yeah.
You know, I did mention that I got to go to Broadway Backwards, which was a really, really fun event that I've gotten to go to twice. And, I get to go because our friend Patrick and Steve, who have the podcasting network, and they're a sponsor of the event. So
oh
I've gotten
gosh.
To go. Yeah. Like, so I get to go and like have really, you know, like nice seats and go to the after party.
How
and
fun.
And it's just fun. I did want to like give a shout out to them and thank them for letting me attend. And then I got to invite
I was just going to say, yeah. It's Patrick's birthday.
It's happy Patrick's birthday today.
I know he doesn't care about a birthday, and I'm sure he's listening really. To this, but happy birthday,
we're texting,
Patrick.
We're mid-text conversation right now. So this will come out a few days after his birthday, but yeah, it is his birthday today. And, it, you know, it's just a fun, you know, fun perk there. And then, like, I got to invite Jesse and Elise to come along. So, and then, you know, my friends Robbie and Len, they were there. Anyways, it was just a fun night. Then I didn't talk about it a whole lot, but where was I going with this? I also got to go. So for his birthday, the thing that he did kind of do this year, and it wasn't on his birthday, obviously, because it was a few weeks ago, but he invited a group of friends and we all got to go to see the musical Titanic.
Oh,
which I had been told about many times. And one of my roommates had been like, you need to go see it. You're going to love it. And I, you know, I don't know why. I just sort of been like, maybe some other time. And it, I don't know if people know what this is, but it started out as a cabaret. And it was a cabaret written by two of the actors that are still in it. I didn't get to see the lead actress. She was out. I saw her understudy, who was amazing. But it's the story of the film Titanic told by Celine Dion.
Oh my God, stop it.
Using her music as though she was there on the ship.
Oh,
and is
my
like
God.
Recounting the events. Vanya,
oh my
it's
God.
It's so stupid. It's like the dumbest, but it's so funny. Like, I was laughing uproariously. It's so funny. So it's in a off-Broadway theater now. So I guess they've had to cut a song or two that they couldn't get the rights to, because
sure.
In a cabaret space, you can do whatever. And off-Broadway, you have to like actually, you know, get the rights to the music.
Right.
It's so much fun. It's so hilarious. Anyone in New York, like if you just want to like go and have like a fun night, it's like, I think an hour and a half, and it's all music that you know. And like I said, I saw the understudy and she was phenomenal. Like,
amazing.
Her Celine is so good, and it's like a small little cast, and some people play more than one role, and it was so much fun, and I was so grateful that I got to go see that. And it's one of those things that I don't know that I would have done for myself, so I was really grateful that like Patrick threw this thing and like, and you know, invited us all, and then we got to go back to his apartment and hang out afterwards, and it was just a blast. I had a really, really good time. You know, I feel like I talked about watching the Scream movies to get up to speed, but I did see Scream 6 in the theater.
Worth it?
Totally worth it.
Okay.
I thought it was really, really, really good. And it's, you know, it takes place in New York City. And as someone who lives in New York City, I was able to look at it and be like, that's not New York. So they didn't film it in New York, obviously. But, and I'm not, this is not shade, because you know I love Friends. But like, you watch Friends and you're like, well, that's really not New York.
Exactly.
They did a really good job on this film that I was like, I would believe this, that I would believe this is taking place. In fact, there's a scene that takes place in Central Park that I was kind of like, I think that's Central Park. And it must not be.
Maybe they did.
Maybe they did. Or it might just be like mats. Like they can kind of film other places and like put things in the background. But I'm just saying, it was really, really well done as far as that goes. And I just enjoyed it. They're outlandish at this point. Like you kind of get to the conclusions and you're like, well, that's insane. And there are definitely people that are alive that should not be alive. Like literally at the end of Scream 5, I have to say, I only saw Scream 5 twice. And both times at the end, I'm like, who was that person in the background? And you find out, and I guess that I could have figured it out in that. It was a character that's alive that shouldn't be alive, is all that I'm saying.
Oh my God, that's so
funny. And
there
are definitely characters that are alive at the end of this film that you're like, that character is not alive. Like, that character is dead.
Yeah.
It's fine. I mean, like, they're kind of ridiculous and over the top, but I thought it was really, really fun. I enjoyed it.
That's fun. I feel like Scream has become its own genre in a way. I mean, it is total
100%.
Camp, but like, it's evolved into its own genre. So it's like, it's easier to appreciate in that way, you know? You're like, okay.
Yeah.
I know what kind of blanket I'm going to be in.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's its own universe. And I, once again, I super, super enjoyed it. I will also say, I debated whether I was going to see this movie. And then I was like, I have the night off. I'm just going to go ahead and go and see Cocaine Bear.
Oh, yeah.
And
what do you
think? It is exactly. Some friend was like, how was Cocaine Bear? And I was like, it is it. Like, it is that. It is Cocaine Bear. Like, it is exactly what you would think you would be getting by going to see a movie called Cocaine Bear.
Is it? What I didn't understand, because I know it's based on kind of a serious and very sad true life event, but right. like, is it a comedy?
So yeah, it's a violent comedy. It's like because it is gory. You should be aware, and they ease you into it. That at first, like the first attack, you're like, oh, we're not really gonna see anything, and then you're like, oh, we saw a little bit, and then the next one, you're like, oh, that was a little bit more. Like it ramps up, and like as you go along towards the end, you're just like, I was like, this is not actually pleasant to look at.
What was that movie with Leonardo DiCaprio where the bear chewed
the Revenant?
Yeah, so yeah. It's basically like a comedy version of The Revenant.
Absolutely, yeah, yeah. And like it is funny, like it does get laughs. Like I did laugh, and the audience was, if you're gonna go see a movie called Cocaine Bear, exactly what. Yeah, and I enjoyed it. Like I shouldn't, did I enjoy it? That's a weird thing to say. I enjoyed parts of it. I really like, we've talked about this, like I love Elizabeth Banks. Like,
me
I think
too.
She's so smart. So it's, I want her to direct, like she's a director and she wants to direct. So I'm glad this film did well. It's also like Carrie Russell and
so
Margot Martindale. And it was also funny because like they were in The Americans together. So it's kind of like fun just to like see just fun actors and a really, really enjoyable cast. So I don't know. I guess my thing is, if you think you would enjoy a movie called Cocaine Bear, you'll enjoy this film because it is exactly what, and it is based on a nugget of truth, and then nothing. It's based on the fact that like these drug smugglers like threw cocaine into the forest in Georgia and then died, and then a bear ate the cocaine, and in the real story the bear ate the cocaine and died
and had a heart attack. Yeah.
Yes. And so the idea of this film was like, well, what if the bear hadn't died? Like, because the idea was for 5 minutes, you had like the most dangerous apex predator on earth because you have this
who didn't give
nothing
a shit.
Hunts a bear. Right. Exactly. Yeah. So, you know, it's kind of it's based on that. And it's still, you know, parts of it were hard to watch, but you know, it was what it was. I also and this is kind of a segue into the other thing that's happening in my life right now. You know, I like to go for my long Sunday walks, and I was kind of like, well, what should I usually listen to a podcast, or I'll listen to music. And I went back and listened to some of my early music, technically my second and third albums that I recorded. And this was like 2004 and 2006 or something like that. Like it was.
Yeah.
And I, you know, this isn't going to be, I feel like every other week I have like a semi self-flagellation episode where I'm kind of like, what am I doing with my life? And I don't necessarily mean to go there with this, but it made me kind of sad. Like it made me proud of the things that I've created. Like I think that I've written some really good stuff, and I do promise that I'm working to try to share it with people. Like I have kind of like, I feel like our friend once said of like, well, Mike really hides his light under a bushel there. And I'm trying to not. I am trying to be better about that. I do have things in the work that I'm hoping that I can share soon. But it sad isn't motivating, so I don't want to like dwell on the sadness. But there was a part of me that was like, gosh, these songs of like hope that I wrote when I was like 23, 24, and it made me a bit melancholy to be like, well, why didn't I share this when I was 23, 24? Like, why is this 2 decades later, and I'm like, I should find a way for other people to hear this. And this isn't, you know, to, once again, this isn't to like punish myself or say I should have, or because that's not also not helpful, but it did make me a little melancholy. And in other news, I am going back to my job. I am going back to work at the restaurant.
Okay.
I went in last night and sat at the bar and had food and drink and talked to management. And I, you know, I'm not looking at it as anything other than I'm very grateful for the last few months that I've had, and I wouldn't change the last few months. And I've gotten to travel, and I've gotten to spend some quiet time with myself. And I talked about this 2 weeks ago, and once again, I'm not going to go into being mad at myself. But I guess one thing that I learned is the job wasn't the problem. Like that wasn't what was keeping me back. And I'm looking at other aspects of my life right now to be
that's
like,
a gift,
all right.
So I feel like that's a gift, you know?
For sure. And not everyone gets that. Not everyone gets to take that kind of time to themselves. And so I'm grateful for it. Dipping my toe back in. I'll be back to work this week, and then I'll have an actual schedule coming up pretty soon. And you know, we'll see what happens next. But
yeah.
I'm not exactly sure what the punchline of this is, other than it's been an experience that I've been grateful for. And I'm going back to my job that I'm also very grateful for. And I can't tell you how easy my job has made it for me to come back. And
oh, good. I'm so glad.
So, yeah. So it's not bad news. It's just that's the news. I'll be back to working in a restaurant soon. And it'll be good to have an income.
yeah.
Part of me that's
sure.
been a little bit like, and the money kept rolling out, you know, where I'm like, all right, I need a, yeah. So
yeah.
That's kind of my long-winded week. How have you been? What's anything else going on in California?
Well, the time change royally fucks parents. It screws
yeah.
everybody over, but it just really messes, because you get into a zone where you can like actually get people to bed. Otherwise, you're living in a hellscape, and so that sucked. I talked about obviously the wedding in the Palm Springs last week, but gosh, mm-hmm. I feel like, and I don't know if I said this last week, but I feel like the pandemic started when my friend was supposed to have her wedding, and
right.
I feel like I'm finally kind of letting some of it go now that she actually had the wedding. Like, it's been a 3-year exact mark where I'm like,
sure.
I have a weird feeling of like release or like lightness, whatever. So that's amazing. The things that have sucked is my husband's been working abroad for the last week, and he'll be home when this is published, but kids have been sick. I've got the little one has a double ear infection. And, you know, if you have one of those as an adult, you know how bad it hurts. Like, when you're a kid, uh-huh. thank God you don't remember a lot of things. Because, yeah, so we've had a lot of sleepless nights and just being alone. Like, obviously, okay, for me, in some ways, solo parenting is easier because I can, like, be the dictator and everything is, like, on my terms, yada, yada. But like when your kid is sick, you need someone to come in and tap in when I'm super tired. My eye did stop twitching, which is pretty great, but
good.
Yes. And then, you know, this week I've been kind of like, because I've had so much alone time, you know, I've been sort of thinking about, again, I also am like, what the fuck am I doing with my life? But I decided to put my SAG membership on like hold if I can. So I contacted them for that. What I really wanted them to say is there's some help for you, or so, I don't know. maybe I just need to go see a therapist. But yes, so I'm doing that. I'm putting my membership on hold, and yeah, that's my week. Sick kids.
Yeah, it is. It's. I can't even imagine. Oh, poor little guy.
I know, and the girl is sick too. but they both stayed home with me yesterday, and it was a day. Oh my God. Whew. By the end of it, I was like yelling, go to bed.
Yeah.
And he didn't go to sleep. Calvin didn't go to sleep till like 10:30.
Oh gosh.
I know. Cause he's all messed up with time and like, you know, he rested all day. He had so much energy. I was like, you're little shit. I was like, you're supposed to be sick. But he's back at school right now. Thank God. Anyway.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm glad you'll have help coming back to you pretty soon, at least.
Yeah. Just got to get through a little bit. But oh my gosh, Mike, can I tell you my digging?
Yeah, I was going to say, what's getting you through it all? Let's talk about what's getting us through this.
So the first night where I was alone, I decided to watch, and this is pre, like, all the sickness blew up in my face. I watched Mrs. Harris Goes to Paris.
Oh, yay.
And remember, I was texting you because I was worried.
Yeah.
But you're right. He told me to trust the storytelling, and you are correct.
Trust the story.
I think this movie might have been made for me because it is
it
is everything from, it's like, it has that like rom-com vibe that I love, that like lighthearted and like just joy, but it also has like so like fashion and sewing and Christian Dior and oh my God, the beauty. And I love this movie so much. Oh my God. By the end of it was too late to text you because it would have been way late for you. But I was walking on air. I was so happy, and I'm serious, I'm going to watch it again. Mom, if you're listening, you will love this movie as well, because my mom also sews, and I don't know. I really like, because I know you were like, a easy movie to watch or something like that. And everything. Oh,
I didn't want to push it too hard, but it's why I've mentioned it a few times, because I was like, I think Vani would really like
this
movie.
Oh, no, this is like my favorite movie of the year. I'm saying it right now.
Oh, good.
And I'm only putting it above Avatar because it's like specific to exactly what I love.
No, I really thought, and Leslie Manville, like, how lovely is she? Like, she's just so good. It's such a like beautiful performance.
Yeah, it's a wonderful movie, guys. If you just want to have a wonderful evening, Prime, you can watch it for free on Prime.
Yeah,
I love it.
And it's it was funny because I didn't, because it there are, you know, it's drama, like it's comedy, but it's drama. So there are moments where you're like, everything's falling apart. But
I know.
Like truly, truly, like if you just trust that, like they're gonna get you to a place that, like, yeah. it's so worth it. Oh, I'm so glad that you watched it. I'm so glad that you liked it, because I knew, I really thought that you would. So I'm glad. I'm glad that you did.
Yeah,
that's awesome. I've been kind of. I'm not putting this forth as the thing, because I'm watching this show on Apple called Hello Tomorrow.
Oh, and yeah.
It's very strange. It sort of takes place like in the 50s or 60s, but also in the future.
Okay.
Like everything looks of a certain time, but like cars hover and don't have wheels.
Right,
and like,
yes.
It's all about like sharing time shares
for
the
Azaria
moon. He is Hank Azaria, okay. And Billy Crudup is the lead.
Oh,
it's a
right.
really, it's a very fun, like winning cast. Allison Pill, like it's a really enjoyable cast. I fairly early on in it was like, I think this is a scam. So like, sorry if I just spoiled that, but like, it's sort of, it feels as though it's leading towards things not going well. So I'm kind of enjoying it slash a little anxious watching it, because that's just how I live.
And me too.
But it's interesting. It's interesting. I also do want to just say, like, I know we've talked about this in the past of like celebrities having podcasts and how like, get off my front lawn. But I have been like hoping and wishing for Rosie O'Donnell to be back in some kind of forum. And her new podcast came out today and I already listened to it. And I just like, I love her so much. I know that she's kind of a divisive figure, and I don't think that she really should be, but I just love her, and her first episode came out today, and I love it so much, and I'm super excited just to, like, have her like back in my ear.
Amazing.
Even once a week. But here's what I'm gonna point out, and this is maybe gonna seem like a weird thing for me, because I'm not really, you know, all apologies to my many friends who do podcasts on true crime, I'm not
right.
really like a crime person. There's a new movie on Hulu called Boston Strangler.
Uh-oh.
And it is about the women. So it's not really about the Boston Strangler, though obviously it is. It's about the women who investigated
Ooh.
What was happening in Boston. And it's focused on these two women played by Keira Knightley and Carrie Coons. And it's just a story that I didn't know. First of all, I didn't know that it was women. These two women who, like, broke this crime. Like, and this was before, I think, that even the term serial killer existed.
Oh,
and it
really?
Was these women, this one woman in particular, who looked at these crimes and was like, these are related. These have something to do with each other. And,
wow.
like, the police didn't want to listen to her. Like, the papers didn't want to listen to her. And she is the reason why, like, the investigation got pushed where it is. Also, the last, like, 30 minutes... I was like, what is happening? Like, how is this the answer? And I never knew it. Like, it blew, the conclusion blew my mind. And I think it's a little, I've heard a little bit of pushback, but like, it was truly, truly mind blowing. And I also want to say it's not a violent movie.
Oh, okay.
And that's not to say, like, there are some like after photos and like some app, but like, I think on two occasions shows a crime being committed, and both are like flashes. Like it mostly happens off screen. So it's not, they do their best, it seems, to kind of like pull away from the actual crime of it. Anyway, I don't know. And I don't know if you would enjoy it. Like, I know that you're really not into those kind of movies, but I really enjoyed it. And I also, this isn't anything against Hulu. I do feel like She Said came out, and it was about two investigative journalists who, you know, like break this crime, and it didn't do well in theaters. And I feel like some executive somewhere was like, well, this movie's not going to do well in theaters because that one didn't do. And so they put it on Hulu instead of giving it. And I may be wrong about that. Like, I might be totally off base, but it makes me kind of sad that like this really, really interesting film that centers on women didn't get a theatrical release. And maybe it's for the best. I guess if anything has shown us in the past couple of years, that sometimes putting on a streaming platform is better for some things. So anyways, I want it to be seen. So
okay.
I if anyone is interested, I thought it was incredibly well done, and I thought it was truly mind-blowing. Like, there are things in the conclusion of it that I was like, how did I not know this? Like,
oh,
how
really?
Is this not part of
okay,
human
would it
knowledge?
Scare me before I go to bed?
So it's not super scary. I mean, maybe don't watch it before you go. I don't know. That's hard. Or like, watch it in pieces and then watch a comedy afterwards, maybe.
Okay, yeah. Okay, thank you. Okay, great. I'm excited though. I want to see it because that seems fascinating, and I love. You know, there was a time in my life where I wanted to be a detective. I'm no kidding. But I mean, that was when I was a child.
Sure.
Yeah. And then I was like, yeah, scary. Crimes are actually really scary. No, thank you.
Yeah, they are scary. Yeah. Anyways, I think it's worth watching. So if you maybe wait for Adam to be back.
Yeah, you guys can watch it together. Yeah.
Okay. It's a solid 2 hours. It's like 1:54, something like that. So it's not super long, but it's not short. Like, it definitely is a journey. But
great.
I was really into it. So if you're so inclined, check it out.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like we've already covered some do withouts.
That's
anything
it.
In particular?
That's what I could do without. Yeah. Just, you know, stop being sick, kids.
Yeah, stop being sick, please. I mean, I could go 3 for 3 because honestly, like, it's just, I'm telling you, I was in a play in college that you saw, and one of my lines was, I think, I'm not going to say it wrong, but I think it was, life is such a lot of paperwork. I just can't stop with the paperwork, Vanya. Like, won't stop. And whenever I think I'm done, I get like more things where it's like, well, these are more things to sign or to figure out. Also, I am not great at doing my taxes. I am up to date on my taxes. Don't come for me. I've all paid off. But I tend to like wait until the last minute. And this year I'm like, Mike, what are you waiting for? You literally have one W-2 or whatever they're called. Like, just sit down and do your taxes. So I did. And even the fact that I'm paying any money to do my taxes makes me a little bit crazy because, once again, I have nothing. I have one job. I just do the standard deduction. I don't have anything to write off.
Right.
I got literally all the way to the end. I got to like press this button to e-file. Press the button. It's like, cool. Look at your tax forms from last year and we're going to ask you a couple of questions. Well, I'm like, well, I don't print my tax forms anymore. It's all done online.
Right.
And through the same filing system that I guess I won't name, but like, they were like, if you filed through us last year, just look here. And I looked there and it's like, we don't have any record of that. You must have filed somewhere else. And I'm like, no, I didn't. I filed the same place for like 10 years now. It's fine. And it's apparently fixable. I have to like request my return from the IRS and they're going to set. But I'm just like, why is this so hard?
It should not be. I know.
It should not be. And like, and then it's like, or enter your 5-digit code. I'm like, well, I think I know what that would be. But they're like, don't guess. If you get it wrong, the IRS will reject your refund or reject your filing. And I'm like, well, it's just that thing of like just paperwork. And I just feel like it gets more and more paperwork as the days go by.
Stupid. I'm sorry you're dealing with it. I'm gonna light a goddamn candle. Oh, and it was the spring equinox this week, and tonight's a new moon. So everyone, maybe Mike, wish for less no paperwork. Yeah. I don't know.
Less paperwork.
Make your goals. I didn't set your intentions.
I do need to do that. I will say that when I went into my job last night, the bartender there was actually a bartender that I worked with years ago at a different location of the restaurant. He just started up. Yeah, so it was nice to see him. I hadn't seen him in a while. And he was sort of talking about a moment of clarity that he had recently. And I did say, I was like, I need that. Like, I need a moment of clarity. And you know, that's kind of, I guess, what I'm working on right now is moment of clarity. Present yourself, please. But here's also, I think I meant to make this point earlier. And once again, this is not self-punishment, but I was thinking about the song, actually, Waiting for Life to Begin, which is a really lovely song from a musical called Once on This Island. And I was thinking, mayhaps that song sends the wrong message.
Oh, really?
Because almost nothing, there are certainly those that backstep into amazing circumstances, but I do feel like I've spent so much time waiting for life to begin.
Yep.
And the fact of the matter is, you have to work for, like, fortune favors the bold, you know? Like, you do have to work for things. And I think that I've worked very hard for certain things, and I think other things I've kind of gone, well, that'll happen when it happens, or that'll when it's supposed to be, it's supposed to be. And I guess that's another thing that I'm working on, is just sort of changing that mindset of like, you have to work for things if you want things. Like,
I know
it takes bold moves.
Yeah, there's a thing called grit. I was reading this book. It was something like 101 essays or something like that. I'll send it to you. But it's like a bunch. They're not like essays. They're like little almost quotes. But talking about people who get what, you know, people who are successful have grit, which means like just keep going when it's hard. And that is tough. And not to get derailed, which is so hard depending on what kind of mind you have, you know, to believe in yourself when things get distracting. And just to keep going. So yeah, the thing, this book, I think it's called, I don't want to essay, I'll look it up. But the two things were like having grit and having routine. And how, God, remember, Vanya, something about how routine changes our mood. It gives us a good mood. Routine gives us a good mood, which gives us then the motivation to keep going. And I was like, I don't have routine. I mean, I have routine with the kids and stuff like that in the mornings, but I need to start moving my body like you do, which is, at least you have that. But
I know. And it's
take
like,
that move, you know.
I do congratulate it. Myself on that. Yeah. Like I'm good at that. It's the thing that I do. And I'm aware that I need to apply that to other aspects of
it's
my
hard.
Life.
I mean, you know.
Yeah. It's hard. We didn't really have a topic. We haven't had a topic in a while, but I was thinking about this and this can be really, really fast. But like, what's your favorite scary movie? We've talked about like movies that ruined us as kids or movies that we saw too soon. And maybe it's the same thing. But I was just sort of thinking about like I really do love the Scream series. And I feel like I've said this before, but I do think that like Halloween 4 is maybe my favorite scary movie. I don't know. Anything come to mind when you think about like scary movies that you really love?
Yeah. Cause like there's the ones that like destroyed me.
right.
But then what did I enjoy? It would have to be something like a children type, like a movie for kids that was supposed to be like kind of scary. I can't quite think. I mean, like, I know it's not scary, but I like the Harry Potter series. A little more tame, a little more, because the Dementors are scary, Mike.
They are scary. That is true.
I have
Look,
to think
Harry
about
Harry Potter movies
it.
Are very, very good.
I can't like think of anything because I've avoided them for so long. I did start to watch the one with the, you know, where they go to like Sweden and they're.
Oh, God, Midsommar.
Midsommar. I was liking it so far, but then I got distracted.
It's very upsetting, but it is very well made, but a very upsetting film.
What about you?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I think that that's kind of where I land. Like, I really do love the Scream movies. I love Halloween 4.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I used to be really into like all of like the Friday the 13th. I have this fantasy of like remaking like the first three Friday the 13th and not remaking them exactly as they were, but like sort of like writing my original Ooh. Scripts for like a trilogy of Friday the 13th. Cause I knew there's something pure about like, and it would take place in the 80s, I think. Like the idea of like an 80s summer camp, like that's just such a like a pure like setup for being scared. You know, like I think about even when I was in college and there was a time that I was so blessed in college and had no idea, but we got to record an album once a year. And one of the years we recorded an album at this resort, and it wasn't really a resort, but like this place in the woods. I mean, it was probably a resort. It was like a main house. And then like we all stayed in cabins, and it's where the first time that I ever saw The Exorcist in the woods. And I think about like that, like some of the kids like snuck out and like banged on the window at some point. And there's just something about that, like cut off from society, like in the woods kind of thing that I think is just like purely horror.
Yeah.
So yeah,
for sure.
Yeah. Do you have anything random for us this week?
The only thing I was watching the Today Show, because you know I like to feel like I'm in New York sometimes. And Jamila, I forget her last name, was on. Jamila from The Good Place.
Jamila Jamil, I think is
Jamila,
her name.
That's right. Jamila Jamil. And she was talking about a lot of things. She's very funny, and I like, she's kind of really crude. Like, she's so fucked up, and it's kind of amazing. And I know she can, some people hate her, whatever. But she was talking about how when she was young, you know, for like 20 years, she had disordered eating, which sucks, you know. But, and also she would only work out as a form of punishment. Like, so if she ate something, she'd work out super, super hard. So that's kind of how her daily went. Like, if she, you know, and then when she worked on a Marvel movie, she said they had her work out every day because they needed her to like gain muscle and literally not to lose weight. She had to eat more and work out every single day. And she said it finally clicked for her, for real, that moving helped her mood, her mind. And so she has her own company. I think it's called iWay. And she was talking about like move for your mind and like joyous movement, not even necessarily about like hitting specific muscles. It's like literally just moving to make your brain happy because it's immediate.
Yeah.
Instead of being focused on what you're going to look like.
I gotcha.
So I thought that was great. Fun. That's my random
Yeah, she's
thing.
Really, I enjoy her. I enjoy her. I feel like I had a few points that I wanted to make because I wanted to do a little bit of an Oscar follow-up. And I do want to say that I feel like I was kind of a dick about the performances. And I just want to clarify that I think everyone did a great job. I don't blame the performers at all. When I listened back, I was like, oh, I hope that Gaga never hears this. Anyways.
She'll be pissed.
One of the things that I found out that I thought was really funny, because we were talking about the awkward moment that they presented, like, a Little Mermaid trailer.
Oh, yeah.
And apparently, like, and not apparently, in the Dolby Theater, it was like, here's the trailer, and then they didn't get to see the trailer. Like, the people in the theater were kind of like, oh, they were actually, like, sort of excited to see the Little Mermaid trailer, and then it didn't play in the theater. What, so, the like, heck? We saw it at home, and you even saw it if you were, like, out in the lobby. It played on the TV sets that were playing, but, like, in the theater. So, like, that's so funny to
that's
me. That's
weird.
Like, it's ABC, it's a Disney film, and, like, they didn't even show the trailer in-house, which just seemed kind of bizarre to me.
What?
Yeah. There you go. Just a little random fact.
That is.
On the flip side of your weather, it is like 61 degrees out and beautiful and sunny. So
you're wearing like shorty shorts.
I should be. I'm going to go for a walk now while it's still beautiful out.
Nice. Oh, but anyways, I have one more thing, yeah. Mike.
Ooh, bring it.
This is like mind blowing for me. So you know how I have the hip and the knee issues?
Uh-huh.
I got new shoes and it stopped.
Wow.
Isn't that so messed up?
That's amazing.
I didn't think my tennis shoes were that old, but I guess like they're probably 2 years old. So you're supposed to get new shoes every 6 months, which is crazy. But right. For me, because they're so expensive. But I got some Hokas, and oh my God, I'm telling you, I can't believe it. I have been working and working out, like moving. I'm on my feet. So guys, if your knees and hips are bogging y'all, and got no shoes, please. Holy shit, right?
Well, I'm so glad to hear that. That's amazing.
I know. Yeah.
You're a brand new woman.
I love you guys. I love you, Mike Jensen.
I love you too. And we'll be back next week. Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Mike and Vanya Can't Not. Episodes arrive on Thursday, so don't forget to subscribe if you want to be a part of this journey. Mike Jensen, that's me, is also the co-creator and co-host of We Couldn't Help But Wonder, A Journey Through Sex in the City, alongside Elise Castle. You can also follow him, me, at MikeJensen77. Vanya Arslanian is the co-creator and co-host of Rom Crime with Avrin and Vanya alongside Avrin Mackey. Follow them at Rom Crime. You can follow this podcast on Instagram at Mike and Vanya Can't Not with a whole lot of underscores and email us at MikeandVanyaCan'tNot@gmail. We're also on Twitter. Why? No one knows. But you can follow us there at Mike and Vanya. We'll be back next week.
We'll be back next week and we're gonna talk a lot. Mm-mm-mm.